Shanti. This evening, we have a Q&A session with Didi Nirmala. Personally, I'm really honored to have this opportunity to interview Didi. Through my experience, whenever I have a conversation with Didi is a very clean and clear intellect. She creates the space in my intellect and so that I can have a space to think about that issue. Means she made me independent to think about it, but giving the principle of Baba's knowledge. So I think today she will be creating the space in all our intellect to think about the question, giving the foundation principle of Baba's knowledge. So I would like to go directly first question. How we can really, before that, thank you Didi for being with us. First question, how we can really develop discernment power? You are very detached, therefore we understand that you can easily discern the situation and apply the power. Didi, can you share your secret on this aspect?
Om Shanti. In order to meet discerning power, one needs to have clean and clear intellect. For translation in all languages? Yes? Okay. And as we know, to have yoga power, we need to have this deep connection with Baba, soul consciousness, love solitude, so that we are able to connect with Baba. Because unless we disconnect from others, usually we connect with everything and every object because we love them, we are attached to them, and we have interest in them. If I have disinterest in the worldly things, if I am detached from my possessions, position, etc., I can easily connect with Baba, have discerning power, and then naturally we can make decision accurately. Because to make accurate decision, we need to have good connection with Baba, clear connection with Baba.
Thank you, Didi. So the next question is really connected to first question, is about the desire. So even though we have very clear Baba's Shurimat and Maryadas, sometimes we get confused emotionally in various situations, listening many mat from others and from all my voice. How we can be free from my desire and opinions from others?
I think really we have to be jnani and yogi. Because if we are jnani and yogi, not just knowing jnana, but implementing jnana, which means implementing Srimad, and not allowing manmat. When we allow manmat, naturally, that, or parmat, because we listen to the opinion of others. So many times we listen to the opinions of others, we think in our own way, manmat. And so I had to see that I am neither manmat nor listen to parmat, but just listen to Srimat. And secondly, I should give up my sanskar of talking to many people about decision making. Because many times, what we do is, if I am not clear about what I want to do, we go to 10 people to check what we should do, what I should do, what I should not do. If at all I am not clear, my aim should be to be meditation and try to get link with Baba, or at the most I should go to senior instrument who has been in Jnana for few years and has clear understanding of Srimad. Then I will not follow manmat and parmat. And what I find many times, that, no, we think, oh, I'm living in society, this is my family system and custom, I have to keep everybody happy. Baba says, don't give sorrow to anyone. So if I don't please my lokits, they will have sorrow. So I must please them. But the thing is, Baba also says, keep everybody happy, but follow Srimad, that's first. Srimad is first. And you have to discern whether you want to keep happy these people or whether you want to follow maryadas. And Baba says, many times you have to be yukti-yukt. Many times you have to speak white lies. Speak lie. Because you have to see whether by speaking lies you are really keeping peaceful life as well as you are following Baba's Srimad. So where you have to be yukti-yukt, whether you have to be sweet, whether you have to be strong and face opposition. Because Jnani path is have courage to face opposition. There will be always opposition. Especially if your lokiks are not in Jnana. And even if your lokiks are not in Jnana, you are in alaukik family, even in alaukik family, there are sometimes conflicting opinion, different opinion. So you need to be really detached and connection with Baba. And total disinterest for the old world.
Didi, this is connected to third question. But sometimes when we are really, really on my desire, manmat, and I don't even realize that this is manmat. And then, what we can do at this case?
If I don't realize it's Manmath and still I follow Manmath, naturally there will not be success. So I won't have success in my task. And I will have definitely conflict with other people, especially Alaukik family. Because that's the speciality of Brahman life, that Alaukik family, even if they are from a different background, they are following Srimad, Brahman system, Maryadas. So they are going in one direction. And if I'm going in another direction because of my Manmath, there will be conflict.
Okay. When you watch the drama and situation, we can understand that's my Manmath. So third question is, when we make mistake, which is the correct way to reduce punishment? As Baba said in the today's moli, the essence for dharana, by telling truth to the judge, your punishment is reduced. So we can write to the letter to Baba, or we need to speak to the senior.
So best way is to write to Baba. And remember Baba, in meditation, tell to Baba, write to Baba, and still if you are feeling guilty, then it's best to talk to seniors. Because many times it happens that by writing to Baba or telling to Baba, the souls are not feeling still light. They still feel heavy. So then, talk to seniors that this is what I have done. Because in many situations I find that by speaking, you really feel light and you get advice as to what to do, what not to do.
So for that, we need really honest heart and the faith in instrument, isn't it, Didi? So next question is...
And one thing is, first you have to realize you have done mistake. Because many times, unless we are introvert and checking ourselves, we don't know that I made mistake. And so we don't confess. So we had to be in Baba's remembrance.
So next question is about remembrance of Baba. I am first timer. My question is about remembering Baba. When I try to remember Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba comes to my mind because his image is very clear and strong, while Shiv Baba is just a point of light and not easy to keep in my mind. Is it okay to have Brahma Baba's image in my mind when remembering Shiv Baba?
Of course, it's Bap Dada. And especially when we have done bhakti, we are so much used to have human image. And that's why I can understand this first time or so, because they have been doing so much bhakti. So Brahma Baba's image comes in mind. But at the same time, you have to remind yourself it's Bap and Dada, not only Baba, Brahma Baba, Bap and Dada, that Shiv Baba is within him. So you have to remember both. But it's fine to have Brahma Baba's image, not to worry about it.
Thank you for clear answer. Next question is, during meditation, I often saw the seniors conducting meditation change their form into a different person. Not all the seniors, but often saw a sister changes into a brother's form. Why is this happening and what should I do when that happens?
Om Shanti. Usually, what happens is, Mama often gives us the vision of the future birth of that soul or sometimes it can be the vision of their special deity or Brahma Baba or seniors, because I remember once I was leading meditation in Australia and it was first time I'm in public program. So at the end of the session, question answer in question answer or comments, somebody said, during meditation, I saw about 50 images. In 5 minutes, 50 images, like slides, one after another. And they were all European and males or females. But so what does it mean? So I said, this may be your past incarnations. Because I'm sure I haven't taken so many births in Europe or other countries. Practically none. So, because many times when I'm meditating or I remember once Mohini Ben was leading meditation in UK and at the end of the session they say, oh, I saw your guide. And he described Brahma Baba. And once I was leading a meditation in New Zealand, at the end, they say, I saw one old lady with round face, black hair. So next time when I went and show her senior's book, all dadis, she pointed out to them, ki dadi, I saw her. So sometimes, once I was leading meditation and somebody says, oh, I saw Confucius, Chinese god, no, sort of, who started one of the Chinese religion, Confucius. Sometimes they say, I saw Christ. So the thing is, whoever they are, deities, whoever deities or prophets, they had been worshipping, either this birth or past birth, sometimes Baba gives them that vision. So main aim, you know, in the beginning there were so many visions, and everybody had vision, most of them had vision of Krishna through Brahma Baba. So the thing was, or some people had just face disappear, just light. Whole body disappears, just light. Some people see our halos and all sorts of things. Especially, some are visual. And I know one of the organizations in New Zealand, what they do is, they have different colors. Vision of different colors. So when somebody is meditating, they see pink and purple or green or something light, and they say, okay, this is your quality. So the thing is, Baba gives vision. Means we should not be interested to have vision, or we should not be proud that we had vision, but just not get influenced. Neither feel sorry that why I'm seeing this, nor have intoxication that I've seen deities and all. So just thank Baba to give vision, especially if it is of your special deity or prophet souls.
Thank you, Didi. The next question is very interesting. What is the qualities of Pakka Brahmin?
Qualities of Pakka Brahmin.
Yeah. From Brahmin.
Pakka Brahmin.
What about their trait, behavior? To be a Pakka Brahmin, how much dedicated to service, how many times we need to share with the Brahmin family, etc.
A Pakka Brahmin. I would say Brahman means study and teach. You know, many times Baba says, you are not Brahman, you are not studying or teaching. So first quality, you need studying and teaching. Second, as a Pakka Brahman, you have to be sattvic bhojan having, non-vegetarian, cooked by Brahman, offered to Baba. That's diet. Third is celibacy. And fourth is that they have deep love for none but Baba. So study, pure diet, celibacy or complete vicelessness, and engage to Baba, love for none but one. These are the main four qualities that somebody has to be called Brahman. Otherwise, all are weak. As Baba says, we, all human beings, are Shiva Baba's children as well as Brahma Kumar Kumari, whether they are Christian, Muslims, Hindus, Jnani, Ajnani, because Brahma is father of the world, Prajapita. Not only father of Brahma Kumaris, but he is father of the all humanity. So he is the father of the world. So Brahman, BKs are all. But Brahman needs to have these four qualities. So their prayed sanskars are pure, they follow Baba's maryadas, wake up early in the morning, study murli, be karma yogi, they follow all maryadas. Keep their chart, not give sorrow to anyone. So these are all traits and behavior. Service also doing, but not necessarily they must be doing, because some may have time or not. So even if they don't have time to do karma yoga, or service through words, at least they will be serving through mind. Because in yoga, whether it's Amritvela or evening yoga, we spread vibrations. Whether every day or even once a week or at least once a month, we spread peaceful vibration in the world. So we are doing service, but not necessarily service through words.
Thank you, Didi. Next question. How can I transform from Brahmin to Pakka Brahmin? For example, I do Amritvela constantly, but if I miss it once, am I still could be considered a Pakka Brahmin? Also, in relation to the service, when I have a family or a job commitment, am I okay to say, no, I can't?
I think it's similar to first question. So, if you miss once in a while Amritvela, it doesn't mean you are not Pakka Brahmin. Provided you don't miss single day Murli. If you miss Murli, as I say, then you are not Pakka Brahmin. Service also, as I said, if you can do, well, yes, go ahead and do. But not your self-service is first priority. Then looking after the family and job is second priority. And third priority should be service of other people. Means karma yoga, center service, giving jnana yoga, etc. But if you don't have time, you should not put pressure on yourself or neglect your first two priorities, at least self-service and your family and your logic job. You should not neglect. You can say no, definitely.
Thank you, Didi, for very clear answer. So, the service for the self, and then service for the family and love kicks, and then service for others. Next question, is it necessary to wear fresh clothes for Murli every day? Because some soul says, they only wear for 1 to 3 hours per day and they wear them next day.
It's okay to wear the same clothes for 2 or 3 days. If you are wearing only 1 or 2 hours when they come to class, some of them, they wear whites only when they come to class, will go home and change into logics. So it doesn't matter, it's fine, provided they haven't been associated with any dirty work or they haven't gone to long visit and not changed them, that even otherwise we should not be allowed.
Okay, next question is about the food. If I eat the food outside, which is cooked by celibate vegetarian cook, is it okay to cook in Baba's kitchen? The so-called celibate vegetarian cook, she eats the food made by her married daughter.
Married daughter, if she is cooking non-vegetarian, then I should not eat. But if she is celibate, vegetarian, and eating only vegetarian food, if they are eating from restaurant or by other vegetarian food, it's fine, they cook in Baba's Bhandara. But if they are eating non-vegetarian, cooking non-vegetarian, or having non-vegetarian food in their even kitchen or mixed with other food, then I should not eat food cooked by them.
Didi, one more question in relation to this question. Then the Brahmins or mothers who live in their family, but they are totally vegetarian, but they don't offer bhog in their home, still they can cook in Baba's kitchen?
If they are all vegetarian, that is, she's eating vegetarian food, no non-vegetarian in that house, it's fine.
Thank you, Didi. Next question. Baba says to eat only what Baba has provided. However, many of us can only take the food in Madhuban for a while and need to supplement with other food as like fruit, nuts, biscuit, etc. Should we buy this food or should we ask for them from Baba's Bhandara? Or should we only have what is provided?
Thing is, if we have capacity to buy, you can buy, why not? Because nowadays, many BKs have all sorts of allergy. They can't eat this, they can't eat that, they can't eat that, etc. So naturally, they have to supplement with nuts, or they have to buy some their own food because general Bhandara may not provide them. So I think they can buy their own food. But what Dadi says is, whatever is offered as a bhog to Baba, we should not reject it. Even if we eat little bit, Baba's bhog must be eaten. And if you eat it with deep faith that this is Brahma bhojan, then it will not affect your health. But eat, take little if you think you are not able to have it or digest it, or there is reaction. Apart from, some people have severe peanut allergy. And peanut allergy, I have known many cases, they die instantly even if they eat peanut butter. And so, if the bhan, like Thursday bhog in West, sometimes they add peanuts. So naturally you should not eat. Or tolis sometimes has peanut. Or nuts that you are allergic, then don't eat it. Those food to which your body reacts severely, don't eat. But don't think that, oh, if I eat salty food, it will affect me. If I eat sweet, it will affect me. Even Baba, Brahma Baba had diabetes. If somebody used to offer or bring some toli with love and say, Baba, you eat it. So he will take only little bit of it. Or many times you might have seen Dadi Janki. She takes little bit toli. She has also diabetes. She takes little toli, not more. So that's what you have to see. Don't be too fussy. But be cautious.
Thank you, Didi. This is about the question about service. How can we sustain new students in a better way? For example, those who have finished course and also new student for Mali class.
So in order to sustain new students, what we usually do is after finishing General Murali, because in General Murali, especially there are old students, they don't want too much explanation, not too much journey, because most of them are in hurry to go. So usually we finish in 45 minutes. And some of them had to rush even in half an hour because of job and that locked situation. So what, they don't want teacher's journey or explaining too much in detail. So what we do is, if teacher has time, because sometimes in the West, teachers are also rushing after morning. So if teacher who is reading only, if she has time, or some of the senior teachers, either Santavasis or others, they should sit with the new students and see whether new students have any question, clarify them, or revise only with them, because that's what helps new students. Just as here also, no? Avyakt Bhunli was played. But then, this next evening, we had revision of that Avyakt Bhunli. And that helped a lot to many. And that's why it's very good to revise Murali. And now and again, sit with that new students and check with them how you're going. How is everything? Are there any questions? Are there any obstacles in their life? Because sometimes they are shy to ask us. But by seeing their face, we should know whether they are absorbing Murali or not, whether they are clear about Murali or not. Because sometimes when they have some obstacles in their family life, they may not be so easy to communicate. So by checking now and again, we will be able to help them.
So Didi, our open heart, open attitude and bhavana towards new students will be very helpful for them. The next question is about karma philosophy. There are three kinds of karma, which is akarma, neutral karma, and sukarma, which is elevated karma, and vikarma, which has a negative effect on our karmic account. So Baba said in Golden Age, our action will be only akarma. It means we need to be performing our action in a akarma and sukarma level now. How we can create akarma and sukarma? And also, how do you know that your action was akarma or sukarma level? Can we know this through our feeling or through reaction of others?
Sukarma is good karma. Charitable karma is when we are helping others and giving happiness through body, mind, wealth. So in Satyug, there is only sukarma or akarma. Akarma means you are neither creating charitable karma or you are neither helping anyone. nor you are hurting anyone. Because in Satyug, everybody is happy. We don't need to give happiness to anyone. And so we are not doing charitable karma. And there are no vices. So we are not performing vikarma. So it's a neutral karma. Neither charitable karma nor impure karma or sinful karma or vikarma. So in Satyug, it's sukarma as well as akarma, both. Because they perform good karma all the time. Because they are good all. All of them are good. Now in Sangam Yug, that's a little bit difficult. Because in Sangam Yug, usually we are doing either charitable karma or vikarma. Little bit sukarma and akarma also. So all the three types of actions are there. So charitable, because everybody has desire to do service and they do it, the thoughts, words or actions. So we are all doing it to some extent or more extent. Vikarma also, because we are susceptible to our old sanskar, impure, our sanskar of vices. So we might be doing vikarma sometimes, because most of the people haven't conquered either anger or jealousy or carelessness or laziness. So in a gross form or subtle form, they might be performing vikarma. Now how do I know that my karma is charitable or vikarma? If I am doing charitable karma, the result will be, because I am helping someone, I'll be getting their blessings. By giving them happiness, I am being happy. So my level of happiness will be there, and I will not be unhappy or taking sorrow anymore. And if I am doing vikarma, there will be thought, word, action, body, mind, wealth. I'll be suffering. So my suffering is either result of my present action or by past action. Because even past birth, we might be getting some sort of sorrow and suffering. But being knowledgeful, we should be able to realize whether whatever I've done is sukarma, charitable karma, or vikarma present. Because my past birth, if I've done many, many charities, I'll be happy all the time here. But my level of intoxication should be rising as I keep on doing charitable karma. So see, my level of intoxication is rising or reducing.
Didi, then even though the soul is doing service, but not having happiness.
Happiness.
Not feeling happiness. It means the maybe intention or...
It means there is either some impurity, body consciousness, or ego and expectation. Because if I'm expecting that everybody should appreciate me, and I'm not appreciated, And now and again somebody will say, oh, you have done this, you have done that wrong. So they point out my weakness. They wouldn't point out my good things. Then my ego will be hurt. I will be unhappy. So the thing is, if whilst doing service I am unhappy, it means there is some impurity in myself.
Thank you. The next question is, when Krishna is born, will the subtle form of Brahma still be in the subtle region?
As far as I believe, because Baba hasn't been clarifying it, but subtle form of Brahma will be there. Because even if Krishna is born, all Brahman souls haven't gone back to soul world. They are in advanced party or golden age. So everybody hasn't gone home. So what will happen? What will happen is that whilst people are going in subtle region, there will be Dharamraj. So they will be suffering from Dharamraj. So Baba many times says that Baba will be, Brahma will be then performing the role of Dharamraj. So it may not be in the form of Brahma, but it may be the form of Dharamraj in the subtle region.
So can we understand that Brahma Baba soul born as a Krishna, but still the soul will perform subtle part as a Dharamraj? The next question is, Baba says we will continue to meet him till the end, and at the end we will meet in the subtle form. Does this mean meetings will have the form of the last meeting on the 8th of October?
The thing is, I don't think all the meeting will be like that. Some meeting, Dadi Gulzam may be present. Or some meeting, she may not be present physically in Madhuban. But as we see, or as we hear the experience of 8th October meeting, many souls felt when Avyakta Mundli was played, they didn't feel that Baba was Avyakt, Baba was in Avyakt form. They felt Baba is still there. So we don't know of future. Future will reveal itself. We don't need to think too much about future. Whatever will happen will be good.
Be happy. So next question is connected to prior question. Dadi Gurja's health is not really good. If Dadi Gurja cannot be Baba's chariot anymore, then what will happen?
Don't worry. As in the previous question I said, there will be, Babas will make our state so powerful that we will feel whenever see that Avyakt Bab Dada on the screen, because we have got so many videos of Avyakt Bab Dada. And so as we become more Avyakt, even when we are listening Avyakt only, we may have feeling Baba is talking to me. So that's why we should not Think too much.
Think too much. Okay, so the last question is, Didi, please advise one key formula to attain soul consciousness.
I think the key is, remind yourself, I'm a soul, I'm a soul, I'm a soul. So every now and again, check yourself. This is soul, I'm soul. I'm writing, I the soul am writing through my hand. I the soul name is listening through my ear. So every time we remind ourselves, I'm a soul. Because just as when babies all the time listen their name, people calling them by their name. So even if they are not speaking, there is so much understanding, even though those babies, that as soon as their name is spoken, they look at you. So the thing is, as we remind ourselves again and again, it will be easy to remain soul conscious. Om Shanti. So that was the last question.